Welcome to the Digital Identity Digest, the audio companion to the blog at Spherical Cow Consulting. I'm Heather Flanagan, and every week I break down interesting topics in the field of digital identity, from credentials and standards to browser weirdness and policy twists. If you work with digital identity but don't have time to follow every specification or hype cycle, you're in the right place. Let's get into it. Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is the third episode in our series on centralization and decentralization and the balance between the two. If you're just tuning in now, here's what you've missed. In episode one, we explored why resilience isn't about being centralized or decentralized. It's about being able to move between the two models when these circumstances change. In episode two, we looked at the real cost of building that kind of flexibility because optionality isn't free. It takes planning, coordination, and a willingness to invest before you need it. And that brings us to today's topic. Why is decentralization often still such a hard sell, especially inside enterprises? Well, one answer is because that most of our success metrics reward centralization. And if we don't challenge how we're defining success, we're going to keep optimizing for systems that look great right up until the point that they don't. So let's talk about that. In tech, you know, we don't just love things at scale. We know how to do things at scale fairly well. When we're working with centralized systems, we know the playbook. We throw more hardware at it. We replicate the databases. We spin things up in other regions. We set up failovers and caching and routing magic to absorb traffic. And that totally works up to a point. Even when control is centralized, we're very good at scaling the infrastructure around it. When it comes to decentralized models, you know what? We know how to do that too. We just don't plan that way as often, at least not anymore. Think about the protocols from the early days of the internet. DNS, BGP, SMTP, they're not flawless. They're certainly not simple, but they work at global scale because they were built to distribute control and survive failure. Everyone gets a piece of the responsibilities in those protocols. Everyone can operate within a shared structure, and that's decentralization, and we did it, and we did it really well. But now we're at today's challenge. Most of the success metrics we use today, especially in enterprise systems, still push us towards centralization. Why? Well, I think it's because it looks faster, it's certainly easier to explain, and it's a lot easier to report on. But when success is only measured by how tightly we can control the system, we end up building architectures that aren't particularly flexible, and that's a problem. Now let's step back for a moment. You might be thinking, well, yes, but that centralization is what helped us grow, you know, as a company, helped us grow at speed. And yes, you are absolutely right. Centralization often is what helps organizations move fast, simplify complexity, and work at scale. It gives you some clean handoffs, some predictable systems, and fewer moving parts. It lets you optimize for performance without needing to get everyone to agree on everything. And when you're trying to move quickly, those things are real advantages. But the thing is those advantages, whether you're looking at them from your infrastructure perspective or whether you're looking at them from a market perspective, that kind of advantage doesn't last forever. Your markets might shift, your regulations might change, your vendor lock-in might become a liability, and the systems that helped you grow start to hold you back. Now, there's a great idea from supply chain strategy that applies here, and that is that the faster your environment moves, the more important it becomes to reconfigure quickly. And that's where centralized success starts to kind of crack, not because it's failed technically, but because it couldn't adapt fast enough. So your question so much isn't, hey, but didn't centralization help us grow? It's more, yeah, but can we keep growing without the ability to be a little bit more flexible? So it's kind of funny to me, you know, we decentralize all the time, but just not when it comes to our infrastructure and definitely not when it comes to our identity infrastructures and the ways I'm thinking about it. Inside an organization, we do break up control and distribute responsibility on purpose. We often give teams their own budgets. We let product groups make roadmap decisions. We set key performance indicators at the department level, not just at the company level. Why? Well, because trying to control everything from the top down slows you down, because it's more sustainable to align goals than it is to micromanage every function. I mean, take a typical enterprise product org as an example. You've got one team focused on mobile, you've got another on partner integrations, you got a third on internal tooling. Each team is moving independently within shared priorities, and they don't all escalate to the CIO to push code. They're trusted to make decisions locally based on their goals and their context, and we don't call that chaos. We call that autonomy and maturity. I mean, you think that like a city. Every neighborhood has its own character, maybe its own rules, but they follow the same traffic lights, zoning laws, public services, and that's decentralization with coordination. The control, to an extent, is distributed. So if we can do this with people, and even in governments, can you imagine, if we can handle distributed authority in complex orgs, why does the idea of decentralizing infrastructure sometimes feel so very risky? Well, it's not because we can't do it. It's because we haven't applied the same thinking to systems that we apply to, like, teams of people. So if centralization has been our default version of success, what does success look like when you build in the flexibility to decentralize? Well, and it doesn't mean blowing up your current architecture, because that would probably be bad and you wouldn't get very far. It doesn't mean ditching your identity provider or rebuild everything from scratch, because that also wouldn't make you very popular and probably wouldn't get you very far. But it does mean designing for modularity and movement. A successful, flexible identity system might include federated logins that work across partners, but don't collapse if one party changes their trust model. Might include credential issuance that's anchored to your core directory, but it's usable outside your domain. Policy enforcement that supports delegation, which is its own interesting area of discussion. But being able to do that so that different teams or regions can adapt without rewriting global configurations, that's a nice flexibility. Or authentication layers that can shift to support new protocols without breaking legacy systems in the process. Another really good example of flexible identity systems that don't require a centralized focus. So ask yourself, in your organization, can you change identity providers without breaking logins for 50,000 users? Can you delegate trust without rerouting everything through one central system? Are you prepared to adapt when legal or business requirements shift? Or are you going to end up frozen and need to make a plan on the fly? And if you do, good luck with that. I mean, but being able to say yes to those things, that's what success with flexibility, with being able to go between centralization and decentralization, that's what it looks like. So no, you don't have to decentralize everything, and you probably shouldn't. But if your architecture can accommodate, you know, controlled divergence, we'll call it. If you can accommodate flexibility to be centralized in some cases or change to a decentralized model when necessary, that's what matters. That's what's really cool. So here's the takeaway from today. Centralization, as much as it may sound like that's what I'm saying, is not the enemy. But if success only counts at scale or simplicity or speed, that's a story that can get really brittle really fast. We already know how to decentralize in our org charts, and we know how to delegate decisions and align teams without chaos. We just haven't always brought that thinking into our infrastructure and identity systems. But we could. Success doesn't have to mean one system to rule them all. It can mean systems that adapt without starting over. And as we'll see in the next episode, that adaptability only works when you've got governance built in to support it. Because you know what? Our technology, it's actually kind of there. It's almost good enough. In many cases, it's more than good enough. But shared control takes more than just configuration files. It takes structure, it takes accountability, and it takes intention. Now, you can find the full post for this episode, which is called Redefining Success, Why Centralization Looks Like Winning Until It Isn't, at SphericalCowConsulting.com. And thank you for listening. And remember, resilient systems don't just run well, they recover well, and they grow on purpose. And that's it for this week's episode of the Digital Identity Digest. If it helps make things a little clearer, or at least a little more interesting, share it with a friend or colleague and connect with me on LinkedIn at HL Flanagan. And if you enjoyed the show, do be sure to subscribe and leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find the written full post at SphericalCowConsulting.com. Now stay curious, stay engaged, and let's get these conversations going.